Good morning, church. Today's reading is from Luke 8, 16 through 21. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Church, this is the word of God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Megan. Pray with me. Father, we come once again this week, in a wonderful opportunity for us to be your people, to sit with brothers and sisters, to sing praises to you for all that you do, to hear your word proclaimed over us, to pray together, and Lord, also to just hear from your word. And as we do that, Lord, we prepare our hearts. We ask that you would do a work in us. That, Father, if there's stuff that's distracting us, Lord, that you would help us to be able to lay that down. If there are concerns or fears or struggles in our lives, Lord, we'd be able to give that to you right now. And Lord, even in this moment, that you would just help us to see the things that we need to see, that you would help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what it is that you're communicating to us this morning. Father, I want to pray for your spirit to be with us, that he would do this work leading us into truth as your people. And Father, we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who we pray is glorified and lifted high this morning. It's in his name we pray, amen. So let me just ask the question, how many of you, when we started to read that text, started to sing the song in your head, "This little light of mine"? Okay, so some of you all grew up in the church like me. It was like one of my favorite songs. You get to yell, hide it under bushes and beds and all kinds of different things. And so you know this is a text that has been around the church for a long time, obviously since Jesus gave it. This is something that we want to communicate all the time in regards to what it is to be light. But I hope that this morning there's a little bit of a new challenge, because when we come to this text, I mean, we think about all that Jesus is talking about here. He's just talked about a sower and a farmer kind of casting seeds out onto a field, and what does that mean, and what does that look like? And now we're talking about lamps. You're talking about mothers and brothers, and how Jesus has those who are not his blood relatives. And Jesus is communicating a very specific theme, something that ties these things together. And so as we look at that, the hope is that just as it would have challenged the disciples, that it will challenge us. It will challenge our hearts. Now, when Jesus comes to this text and he begins to talk about lamps, this is not new imagery for those disciples. This is not something that they would have never thought of before. This is not something that they would have never even considered before. As soon as he started to mention lamps and lampstands, they would have had a very clear picture of what his intent was for them. And what his intent was, even as the Messiah, the Christ coming for his people. Because this is something that's been carried out throughout the Old Testament, all the way in, and if you read through the end of the New Testament into Revelation, where we see even churches being called and shown to be lampstands, the light from us as the church. And so this is a very known image. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's bringing them back from the Old Testament. So we're going to go into the Old Testament and look at what it is exactly Jesus intends. But the most important thing that I think that the disciples would have understood is they would have understood that what this imagery communicates is God's desire intent in deliverance, in salvation, is that he would have a bright people. God's desire is that he would have a bright people. Think about this lamp that I have on the stage. And I don't do a ton with props, but I think this is an important thing. This represents all of us, doesn't it? Like at one point, everyone in this room had no light. We were dark. We were darkness in a dark place. If you shut the lights off in this room right here, you don't see this lamp. And this lamp doesn't have any ability in and of itself to generate light. Like, it can't just combust into flame. That would be terrifying if it happened, right? Like, it can't just combust into flame and suddenly become bright. God's desire, as it always has been, is to have a people who are shining light. But what's interesting about that is that that light isn't in us. God is the source of that light. There is no other light. There never has been any other light. There never will be any other light. In this world, apart from God, there is only darkness. We don't know how to live our lives. We don't know what it looks like to have life. We don't know what it is to find rest and satisfaction and joy and peace. It's a broken, dark world. You don't feel that? Outside of Christ, it's broken. And this is what he's telling us. And if we go into the Old Testament, we look at Isaiah chapter 60, listen to what he says in verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, your being the people of God. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. This is the light that was promised to the people of Israel. This is what they expected, that there would be a light that would arise from God, that would shine upon them. And what we know now, looking backwards, is that Jesus was that light. Amen? We know that because John the Baptist's dad, Zechariah, he even proclaimed that in his prophecy. He said, the light has come. The sun has arisen upon us. Like, the day has come. Jesus is that light. And this is not just a myth. This isn't something I'm making up. This isn't something I'm saying. What's baffling is this is something that Jesus said. Listen to what he said in John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Think about that statement. Who says that? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. This is the light. Jesus is the light that brings hope to the hopeless, joy to the sorrowful, life to the dead, rest for the weary, binding for the broken, leading for the lost, purpose for the purposeless, belonging to the lonely. Jesus is proclaiming he is the light. What a profoundly arrogant statement, unless you are. Can you imagine any one of us saying, I am the light of the world? He said this because he is the only lamp that was ever born with light in himself, because he is God. He is the only source of light. There is no other source of light. And if we want to be a bright people, where do we need to go? To him. We need to go to him because it is he who makes us shine with his light. We are the lamps. You are the lamp. I am the lamp. And we're lit for his glory. This has always been the case with God's people. This has always been his intent. He becomes the light that sustains us and the light that shines from us and through us. And verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah looks towards that moment. He looks towards that time. But look at Isaiah 60, 3 through 5. The nations will come to your light and kings to your brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see, they all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Now catch this, church. Then you will see, and you will be radiant. We will become radiant. We will see and we will become radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. And the wealth of the nations shall come to you. This is the good news, amen? This is the good news for us all, that the light has come to us. And as we look to Jesus and as we hear the word of God as it comes into us, then he, through the Holy Spirit, he lights us. This is always risky, right? You never know where it's gonna work. And he lights us. It didn't come from us, but now we are lit and we live the life that God has intended us to live. And this will mean more here in just a few moments, but this is exactly the gospel. This has always been his desire, that we would begin to not only experience what it is to live in his life, or his light, but we would begin to reflect it. That we would begin to shine with it. That his glory would be seen through us as his people. This is what Jesus' intent was when he talks about the seed, right? Because the seed was intended to bear fruit. In the verse we read this morning, we're going to spend a lot of time on it, but in verse 21, when Jesus says that these are the people who are my brothers and my mother, they're the ones who hear the word of God and do it. What Jesus is saying is like, it's not blood that binds us. It's your obedience to the word of God. It's you practicing the things you hear. It's you having the seed go into your life and then you working that out. It's you having the light upon you and you shining that light. Why? Isaiah 42, 6 says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. That's why. God has never and never will be content with those that are his. He wants us all. He is not willing that any should perish. He wants the nations to hear the gospel. He wants everyone who does not know the light of Christ to know the light of Christ. Amen? We should be really glad for that because we wouldn't be here if that wasn't true. None of us are Jews. Well, most of us are not Jews. We are the fulfillment of this. It's because the light of the nations has gone out because he wants to draw us to himself. And when Jesus is telling his disciples that they are the lamp, they knew that what he was doing was he was giving them the same purpose that he had always intended for the people of Israel. That they would be a bright spot in this world, shining the glory, a city on a hill, you may have heard, that people might see Christ. And for us, his people, this is also our purpose. It's our mission. It's our commission as the people of God. This is who we are. As he makes his point, Jesus simply says this. He says, You don't light a lamp and then hide it. Like, who lights a lamp for the lamp's sake? Have you ever thought about that? Like, you never light a lamp just because the lamp wants to be lit. You light a lamp because you need light to go elsewhere. You need to extend the light. This was the desire that Jesus had, and Jesus is telling his disciples, like, listen, like, you don't light a lamp, I'm the light, you are the lamp that I'm lighting. You don't light it, you stick it, and then hide it, you stick it on a stand so that everybody can see, so the light is extended out into all of the world. And so what Jesus says, he gives a warning, doesn't he? He says, as he looks at his disciples, take care how you hear. Church, I extend the same warning to us all. Take care how you hear. Here. Be cautious. Be careful with this light that has been given to you. Because verse 18 warns us that there are those who think that they have this light. They think they have this light, and what they think they have, if it's not used, it's going to be taken from them. Mark puts it this way in chapter 4, verse 24, he says, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. This is what Jesus is saying. I have lit you. And we know because of what we know about the Holy Spirit that he's given us the Spirit of God in us to work through us. He's saying, I have lit you. How much you use this light is going to determine how much light you have and how much more is going to be given to you. And so let's just put it in a very simple phrase. The light that you use will grow. The light you use will grow. So let me illustrate real quick. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the time before you knew Jesus. I hope that that's something you can remember. I hope that even if it's a season that you came to Christ in versus just a moment, I hope you can remember a time without Jesus. And just go back to that moment. Go back to that time, go back to that space. Do you remember the joy you felt the first time you heard the Lord say, you're my daughter, you're my son, you're forgiven? The weight of your sin or the weight of your self-righteousness has been taken from you. You remember the joy? Does anybody else remember the joy? Like, I remember that joy. And I grew up in the church, and there was still a season, there was a moment, there was a time where I just remember it stirring in my heart. And I remember coming back from that moment, and I was brought back to face-to-face with the world. And I remember the joy. I wanted to tell everybody about Christ. I was in his word all the time. I was doing Bible studies. I was leading stuff in his church. People were looking at me going like, whoa, what happened? Right? You were going to go do business marketing management. Now you're thinking about doing ministry. I was telling my coworkers at Bank of America about Christ. And guess what was happening all the time? The whole time that I was doing that, my joy was growing. And the more I used it, the bigger my flame got. Anybody else have experienced that? Like, that's what he's talking about. He's saying, like, if you got the light, use the light. Because as you use the light, like, it's going to spur more in you. It's going to encourage your heart more and more and more. And it's not just with evangelism. This isn't simply about evangelism. Let me give you another example. So there was this point in my life, and I've said this before, that one of my spiritual gifts is not prayer. That's an area that I have at times struggled. It's an area that I need to be around really strong praying people to encourage my heart. And there was this time in my life that I was really working on praying. It was several years ago. And I was using the little bit of light that I had of prayer. And I was with the Lord and I was praying. And I specifically was lifting up a couple that we were dear friends with who had been struggling with infertility for years. I mean, years. And as I was praying for them, praying that the Lord would maybe give them a child. And I felt like the Lord deeply impressed upon my heart to call this couple and to tell them he's hearing their prayers and that they will have a baby. Now, for someone like me, that's really terrifying. And it's even a little weird, right? Like, I don't know, I'm just confessing that that's my, like, because there's all kinds of stuff going like, ooh, was that really me or was that the Lord? Like, because maybe that was just me kind of hoping, or was that really God? And so, like, there's this little tiny bit of faith in me. There's this little tiny bit of light in me that's saying, like, go, just tell them, because they need it as an encouragement. Now, it didn't depend whether I said anything or didn't, whether if the Lord was going to do that work, he was going to do that work, amen? But nonetheless, I felt like, okay, I'm going to be the super weird guy, and I'm going to call them, because I knew they were struggling. And so I called them up, and I talked to her, and I said, listen, this is going to be really weird, but I was praying. And maybe this is me, maybe it's the Lord, but I just want you to know that the Lord, I just felt he laid it on my heart to let you know that he hears you. He has not left you nor forsaken you, and that he is going to answer your prayer, and you're going to have a child. And I said, let's take that with a grain of salt. Like, I don't know. If it never comes to happen, just throw me up as hearing my own voice, not the Lord's. It was fascinating. 2-3 weeks later, they took a pregnancy test. She was pregnant. You know what happened? Yeah, amen. Like, absolutely. And you know what happened to my faith? It grew. The more that I stepped into prayer and the more I saw God faithful to answer this prayer, the more it grew. This is what Jesus is calling us into. He's saying, take care how you hear. If you use what's been given to you, more will come. More will come. If you use your faith, more will come. But the opposite is true, is it not? Just as what you use will grow, the light you hide will die. Don't miss that. The light you hide will die. Let me just ask some questions. Did you ever feel like you had a trust in God, but now you're not so sure? You ever feel like at one point in your life, he was enough, he was satisfying enough, but now you're not so sure? Did you once have a hunger for him, but now you don't? Did you once have a hope, but now you feel distance from him? Did you once have a joy in your salvation, but now it feels drab? Did you once have a passion for the lost, but now you walk in and out of lives of people and you never tell them about Jesus? Did you once have a passion for injustices, for the poor, for bills like what happened this week, not getting passed to protect the life of the unborn? Did you ever have those passions and now you feel that it's not present? Let me just say this, friends. That is not necessarily an indication that your faith isn't what is cracked up to be. It is possibly an indication that you're not using your light. Did you hear what I just said? See, we take those things and we go, oh, well, maybe I don't have as strong of a faith that I have, or maybe something's wrong with me, or maybe there isn't a God. And what I'm telling you is it's possible that the reason you feel that way, maybe it's the reason you're in that space, is because you're not using what God has given you. And so your light is dying. I want you to think about men and women of faith throughout history. The George Muellers, the John Bunyans, the William Tyndales, the St. Augustines. These people didn't start out with these massive lives of faith. They started out small. George Mueller is one of the, I read his biography because, again, I need to be around people who pray. And so, and I need to hear from people who pray. And he was one of the great prayers of the 20th century. Do you think he started that way? And what happened was he prayed for a little, and then he found the Lord present, and the Lord was faithful, and the Lord answered, and so he stirred in his heart to pray more, and then more, and then more, and then more, and then more. This is what we're all called into, and if we don't use that, it will die. We miss this. We hear all that Christ has done and we begin to experience it, but sometimes we don't continue to walk in it. We don't continue to do it. Years ago, I had an opportunity. I was in Bolivia. And in that period of time, the Lord was just stirring in my heart for the lost. And I came home, and it wasn't shortly after I was home that I was at the Y. And I was there working out, and I saw this guy that I'd seen there countless times. I mean, I don't even know how many times, 15, 20 times. He was there all the time. And he was a guy I always noticed was there because he was a young guy, maybe in his 20s, and he was in a wheelchair. And he had some severe challenges, don't know what they were. I don't know if there was an injury that he had suffered or what that was. And I was working out, and I saw him working out, and he was talking to somebody, and I felt like the Lord was pressing upon me, hey, Darren, go pray for him. And go talk to him about the gospel. And so I started praying. I'm like, Lord, but look at all these people. Like, that's gonna be really weird. And I'm really terrified that you might actually ask me to pray that he would be healed. And I don't know that I have that faith at all. So please don't. And so I just sat there and I just talked to myself the whole time. And I just said, no, I don't know. Maybe I won't. And you know, the whole workout goes by. And then I'm like, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go back in the room, and if I see him and he's not talking to anybody, then I'll do it. And so I played that little game, and so I went in, and he was on the other end of the room, and he was talking to somebody, and I said, well, see, there you go. And so I walked away. So this is me, right? Like, I'm confessing to you. Like, we're not all different. We're all the same. I'm pretty sure some of you have walked down the same paths. And so I walked away from that morning or that time, and let me just tell you, like, I couldn't get him out of my head. Like, I just kept feeling the weight of that, kept feeling the weight of that. And I just knew that I'd missed an opportunity. And you know, the sad part is that I said, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I promise that if I see him again tomorrow, I will tell him. I will talk to him. I never saw him at the gym again. Can I just tell you a little something? That fire that I had coming out of Bolivia, it died just a little bit because I wasn't obedient, because I wasn't faithful. I didn't get to see God flex his muscles in that circumstance. And this is what Jesus is saying. It's like, listen, take care how you hear, because if you're not gonna listen, if you're not gonna do the things that I've called you to do, like that flame that I'm putting in you, like you're quieting the voice of the Spirit in you. And I have to confess, even in prepping this series or this sermon, like I even feel in me a little bit some of that loss for the passion of the lost, because I spend so much time thinking about shepherding the body and preaching and teaching to the body and loving the body of Christ here. And I'm asking the Lord, God, give me that fire again. Like, stir it in my heart and give me opportunities. And he's laid even an individual on my mind to go and share the gospel with. And I had to be faithful to that. Don't we? One other piece, Ephesians chapter 5, and I don't have it on the screen, but I'll just read it. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, take no part in the unfruitfulness or the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. This is the other thing that will happen to your life. If you spend all of your time thinking about the world and the unfruitful things of the darkness of this world, before long, you won't have a flame. It'll die. And so if you're in this space and you've heard these questions, you're like, I just don't feel like I have any of that. I don't feel like I even have the light of life in you. Ask yourself the question, how much of your time are you spending on the unfruitful works of darkness? Because if you give yourself over to that, you won't be able to hear the Spirit's voice in your life, friends. Such an important thing for us. One other piece, I used George Mueller as an example earlier. And the reason I use him is because of his prayer, but it was also because of his faithfulness to the Word. When you read his biography, there's this story in, and I don't know if I've shared this before, but there's a story in his biography about a man who comes to his door late at night as a homeless man, a man that was in need. And he was asking him for money, and George Mueller did what George Mueller always did. He said, well, let me pray for you. And he began to pray for him. And as he was praying, he felt like the Lord said, give him some money. But George knew that he only had a little bit of money left over. Like, he literally had no money left. He had just a tiny bit, which he needed to do some things for the orphans that he was caring for literally the next day. And so he's like, well, I can't do that because this money is already for your kingdom, and I got to give this to the orphans, and if I do that, I won't be able to have enough money to even feed them tomorrow. And so, God, I just pray that you would provide for them. And as he was about to send the man on his way, he remembered the word of the Lord saying, don't turn away the poor. And so he was like, well, I'll be faithful to that one little thing. And so he went ahead and gave him what he had. And long story short, guess what? There was enough money. There was enough to feed the orphan. There was enough to not only take care of that man, but the orphan. God came through. And so Mueller's light shined, not only in the life of that man who got that money, but his life shined in those orphans. His life shined as a preacher and a teacher. His life has shined all the way up until today because he was faithful. Is this not what God desires of all of us as his people? So what do we do with it? Friends, here's my charge to all of us. Stoke the fire that is in you. Stoke the fire that is in you. Let your heart, as Isaiah said, thrill and exult in the light that you have been given, and not only bask in what has been given to you and what you begin to live in and what you begin to experience in Jesus Christ, but shine brightly. Proclaim the gospel, live the gospel, show people what it is to live underneath the reign of Jesus Christ, that they might see him, that they might say to you, like they did Peter and John, say, these guys were with Jesus. These Galileans who knew nothing, they were with Jesus. May that be said of us. Instead of resting in Facebook today, lay it down. Stoke the flame of finding rest in him. Instead of saying no to sharing your faith because of fear, stoke the flame. Stoke the flame of joy and share with someone this week. Invite them to church. Instead of seeking satisfaction and vanity, the praise of men, comfort, or the desires of the flesh, lay them down and stoke the flame of satisfaction in him. Instead of living a life of consumption, give, produce for the kingdom of God. Stoke the flame of God's mission in your heart. Instead of seeking safety in solitude, stoke the flame of what real love and what it means to belong to the people of God. Be a part of the people of God. As we close, Matt and the team, they're going to come out. They're going to lead us in a song. And I would ask you to ponder responding to what God has called us to today. First and foremost, the most important question is, has his light lit your wick? That's a big question, isn't it? Like, has he actually given you the light of salvation and grace and the Holy Spirit? If you're in this room today and you have not seen the light, you are not walking in the dark, in the light, but you are walking in darkness today, you feel lost, alone, broken, weak, betrayed, angry, bitter, frustrated, purposeless, whatever it is that you're walking in, and I would plead to you, look to the light. And everyone in this room that has felt the light upon them would say, amen, run to Jesus. Wouldn't we? Look to the light this morning. If you're in this room this morning and you are a believer in Jesus and you feel like your light is dim, you feel like it's been dimming and it's dimmer than it's ever been, or maybe you're just going through a season, I would simply ask you to ponder, where do you need to live and let that light shine in you in a way that would allow it to be stoked? Are you using the gifts that have been given to you? Are you being faithful when the still small voice of the Holy Spirit leads you to speak to someone, to give someone a call, to care for them? Is there sin in your life that you're just living in? And you're not experiencing the grace and the freedom that comes from that? Do you not feel confident, but you feel shame? Listen, you don't have to come to Christ. Respond this morning to that. Is there no passion for the lost, no passion for the suffering of those around you, no passion for those who are the fatherless, no passion for the poor, no passion for the unborn? Is there no passion in you? How will you stir it? Because it's God's heart. How will you stir the light that is in you? If you're walking and you're burning bright, brothers and sisters, don't stop. Keep burning. Rest in Christ, as we talked about last week. Abide in him and let him continue to shine radiantly through you. Amen? And so here's what I would ask. I would ask that you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And I would go ahead and ask that our prayer counselors and elders and pastors, if you'd go ahead and make your way up to the front. And Matt is going to lead us, and the team are going to lead us in a song. And as we sing this song, if you feel like you want to respond in any way this morning, you want prayer because you're struggling, you want prayer because you know that you don't have the light of Christ in you, you want prayer because you know you're struggling with sin and you just don't know what to do with it, or maybe you've just said no to the Spirit's voice for so long that you don't feel like you can hear anymore, we want to pray with you. We want to walk with you. Because I cannot tell you how beautiful life is when Christ is shining through you and your light is bright and you see him flex his muscles through you and in you. What a joyous part of living life. And so, Father, this morning, as we close our time, Lord, convict us where we need to be. Encourage us where we need to be. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people who would shine bright for you in all things. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have hearts willing to respond, that we would take care how we hear, and we would be hearers, not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. If you would please join us in it. This is the air I breathe. Church, let's go ahead and stand. For the honor and glory of God.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Spoken to me.
that first part one more time. This is the air I breathe.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
As we close our time together, I want to just invite you, encourage you, that if you felt like the Lord was leading you to come up, but maybe you just didn't feel like you should at this moment, don't leave this room this morning. Come and talk to these up front. Come and pray with them. Let them, if there's anything we can help, and maybe it has nothing to do with this sermon, that's okay. Maybe you just need prayer this morning. Maybe you're struggling with a loss. Maybe you got some bad news this week and someone gave you that phone call that we all dread and told you that you're struggling with cancer or something like that. Lord, let us pray with you. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. So let us do that. Let's talk with you. Maybe you've got questions about Jesus and you just want to talk to somebody. Let's answer those questions. Let's help get you and lead you to Christ so that you can find him and you can find light. If this is your first time here at Central, we're glad you're here. Pray that this is a blessing to you this morning, that you are encouraged in your heart. We would love to help make sure that you are connected into this body. We have all kinds of ways to do that, particularly some classes that we're all getting ready to go into, at least I hope we're getting ready to go into. And if you're not and you're interested in what those classes are, you can get all kinds of information about classes that we have available for marrieds and young marrieds and marrieds with kids out at our Info Central. And again, if it's your first time, I'd love to have the opportunity to talk with you. I even have a little gift for you. And I'm going to be outside of these main doors at our Info Central booth. Love to get some information from you. Now, as we close, don't forget about our mission trips. Don't forget about our next step. Don't forget about our elder, that's hard to say, elder-led prayer meeting. We got to figure out a different name for that. So I want to read this to you. But before I read this to you, I want to encourage us with something. Like, we all can get vocal, can't we? Okay, that was kind of lame. I'm pretty sure that last Sunday, around 6 o'clock, a bunch of you were really vocal, right? Like, I was jumping up and down in my chair, like screaming, like, what in the world, right? Like, we can get vocal. Let me read this text to us, all right? At one time, we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Like, that's who we are as the people of God. So therefore, walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, go walk in the light, go be in the light, and discern what is pleasing to the Lord this week. God bless, and we hope to see you next week.